Good morning. How was your week? What'd you do? Some of us work, right? I mean, and there are, as they said, a lot of retirees, what Jeff is saying. But even then, your life goes on, doesn't it? And there's still, how many of you retired thinking nothing in life was going to be difficult at that point anymore? Yeah. Not true, though, is it? No. In fact, sometimes people say, now my life is even more jam-packed with stuff to do. Things of heaven, things of earth. There are things of heaven, and there are things of this earth, and we all have priorities. Last week, I asked you, what'd you do in work? You know, lots of that. Life is about priorities, isn't it? And you're going to do what you prioritize as most important. There are things of heaven that are way more of a priority for Christians than things of earth. But it's very difficult because many times we don't see them. We're going to be talking about that today. But first, can I have the kids come up? All of you. And even if you are an adult and you think you're a kid. Okay. So you guys need to just go ahead and sit down a little bit, real quick. Then the people behind you can see. Hi, Paxton. Paxton's in that range where, am I really a kid? I'm kind of not a kid anymore. But he is. But you guys should see him at Center Shot, as well as these guys. I mean, it's amazing. Anyway, what do you think? Okay. Donuts, cookies, all kinds of snacks, chocolate s'more clusters, even some crackers, whatever. All right, now, two little eggs. If I could say, hey, Jackson, you could have this or you could have one of these. What do you think? All right. Can you see what's here? Okay, what if I told you, if you trust me, you really want this instead of this? What would you think? You're shaking your head. If I said, you really want this instead of all of this, you can see this, can't you? You can see it. You can even, some of it you've even experienced. I'm going to take this home with me. I like this one. But what if I just told you, I can guarantee you, you're going to want this instead of this. What would you say? Okay. Open it up. You have to push hard. Yeah. Push hard on the edges. There you go. What's in there? Open it up. Stand up. Turn around. Show everybody what's in there. Now, I'm going to need that back, but could you see that was in there? Could you see it when it was here? No. And so you all said, no, I want this instead of that because I can see this and I know how good it is. But that little egg looked like nothing. Now, I know money's probably not a big thing to you guys yet, but I'm telling you, there's way more way less than $100 worth of stuff here. You could probably get five times this amount, or four times anyway. So can we always say, I want this because I can see it, and I'm not really going to want what was in it, even though Tim, Pastor Tim, told me, you are going to want this more than this, and you shook your head. Because we don't always see what's most important for us to have, right? I mean, we kind of like the $100 bill there, don't you? Can't we always see what God wants us to do? No. So what is it required? Okay, faith is true. Faith is like the number one. But one of the things, though, is first, okay, God, what is it that you want? Right? So you have to know it. You have to know it. And then you have to say, yeah, I'm going to have faith in it. So even though I can't see Jesus, even though I don't know exactly what heaven is going to look like, I'm going to trust what God said in his word is the most important thing for me in my life. And I am going to prioritize my life so that I achieve the most important thing. Now we all, no, first, okay, here's two things. Parents, sorry if I do this wrong. Besides this, which is mine, you guys all got to take one of these things back, but you can't eat it until you tell your parents, you know, and make sure that, because if I give you stuff you're not supposed to have, like chocolate or cookies. But anyway, I want each of you to grab one of these things and then head on back to your seat and say, give me the $100 bill back. And don't eat it in front of everybody. You have to save it till after church, all right? Heavenly things and things of the earth. And see, we were born, folks, as human beings. I know it's hard to pick, isn't it? It's hard to know as human beings, right? What's most important? We have to go to God because there are things of heaven that we don't see. In fact, most of our Christianity, when God says, I created you in my image, and you have all kinds of things you can do, but you were broken. And so now, for you that are out there, most of you are completely absorbed in finding and doing the things you want. Human beings. Okay. What are some of those things? Well, we want to be successful. We want to be esteemed by other people. We want people to think, hey, you're really cool. You're really good. You're really valuable. I want to be accepted and liked and loved. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy things. I want to have experiences. I want to have pleasure. And so our priorities in life are pretty much based on those things, aren't they? I want to be rich. I want to be famous. I want to be good looking. I want everybody to like me. I want to have a billion people follow me on Instagram or whatever it is. Because we have these worldly things that we're looking for, the things of heaven and the things of earth. See, as human beings, we're made to want those things, but we're looking in the wrong place. And so here we're going to be talking about this. I'm going to read the passage for you real quick. This is a conversation, really, that John the Baptist is having, and he's going to have a response. Now, so we talked about this in John before. Man, my glasses are really dirty. And here was, you know, John is all about Jesus and his ministry. And so here was Jesus, and he was starting his ministry at age 30. And John the Baptist, which we talked about last week, he was there, and he was prophesied by God, and God raised him up, and Elizabeth, his mother, was too old to have kids. And so God supernaturally had her become pregnant with John the Baptist, and she was a relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And they came together, and it said when they walked into the room, Mary, the baby jumped in her womb because they could understand that John the Baptist was also there with his mother. And so this was a really important thing that God has said, I'm going to send John the Baptist out there ahead of time to pave the way for the Messiah that's coming and start the ministry. And then Jesus comes, and we talked about this the last couple weeks. Then John is being told, we're going to read this real quick, you know, hey, Jesus is here now, and he's getting a lot more people than you. And John the Baptist says, that's okay, because that's the way God set this thing up. So let me read it, starting in John chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 25. Now, we have gone through 25 through 30 already, but I need you to hear some of the background here before 31 through 36 makes much sense. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And this is what we're talking about, baptism. Baptism was a purification ritual that the Jews had been doing. It did not mean you were saved. It did not mean you were accepting Jesus. It just meant you were being purified through this act that they would do by putting them in water and raising them up. Okay, and then, but John the Baptist was saying, you need to be baptized for repentance of your sins and to be looking for Messiah. So he was out there baptizing people away, and then this Jew came over to John's disciples, and they had a discussion, and they came to John, and they said to him, Rabbi, John, who they're talking about, would be a teacher. Rabbi means a teacher, and John the Baptist was certainly one of those. He who was with you across the Jordan, meaning Jesus, to whom you bore witness when you said, look, here's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, guess what? Now he's baptizing, and lots of people are going over to him. And John answered, and this was his response, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, that's who he was, John the Baptist, who stands and hears and rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. Not only was he not bummed that everybody else was going to Jesus and he was losing his followers and following, no, he said, I am overjoyed because God has sent this man into the world to save and be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I'm overjoyed by that. And we talked about this last week. We understand that John the Baptist actually doesn't live much longer. He gets thrown in prison and then beheaded. But God had a plan for him, and he sent him ahead of Jesus to pave the way. And then here comes Jesus, and John the Baptist is absolutely, and his final response was this, he must increase, but I must decrease. Okay, so that was last week's sermon. So let me go into chapter 3, verses 31 through 36. This is still John the Baptist's response to this Jewish person who is saying, what about all these people that are leaving you and going over to Jesus? So he's going to explain to this person why he feels this joy, why he feels no problem whatsoever stepping back and letting Jesus become the preeminent thing in Christianity. He who comes from above is above all. Who's he talking about? Jesus. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way, but he who comes from heaven is above all. Heavenly things, earthly things. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, and yet no one receives his testimony. But whoever does receive his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given him all things into his hand. For whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will remain on him. What a message, folks. And he's trying to tell you how important is Jesus as he's come into his ministry, and that John is backing away because it is the most important thing. What then is the most important thing? What are the priorities? What is the priority of all human beings in the end when he's saying this? We'll go right to the last verse here, and then I'm going to go through this verse by verse. For whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will remain on him. What do you think is the most important thing? Picking the thing you don't necessarily see. The most important thing for all human beings is one thing. Where am I going to spend eternity? Because there's only two options here, folks. And it is either I'm going to spend eternity in heaven, heavenly things, with Jesus and all his children, or I'm going to experience the wrath of God in hell for eternity. So as we live our lives and set our priorities, this is what this message is telling us. That Jesus is above all things because he came from heaven. The things in heaven we don't necessarily see. How many of you have seen Jesus? Or God? Or the Holy Spirit? None. Right? I mean, we didn't live there. How many of you ever thought, boy, I sure wish I could have lived there during that time. And actually come up and seen Jesus. Frankly, it says most of the people heard it and didn't want anything to do with it. That's what this passage just said. They heard the testimony and they didn't accept it. So I sometimes wish, gosh, couldn't I just go up and if you ever watched The Chosen, could Jesus just come up and give me one big hug, just once? It would be so great to meet him, but I'm going to meet him. But the point here is we're going to be looking at this passage and we're going to be seeing that there are things of heaven and things of earth. The things of heaven, oftentimes we can't see and they have to be accepted by faith. And they're told to us by God. That it says in there, who gives the testimony? And then people don't accept it. So is Jesus here talking to us today, giving us his testimony? No, but he did write it down. And the Apostle John wrote down these words that Jesus was saying about the gospel and how I can then find the priority I should be looking for, and then I will know for sure where I will spend my eternity. It's either going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. And so as we go through our lives, I remember back, like we all do, you were born. At some point here, we live in this country where there's all kinds of things going on and there's expectations about people. I know there's lower class, middle class, upper class, and all that, and the expectations were different. But everybody, I'm sure, at least somewhere in your life, you say, okay, there's things I need to achieve here. I'm going to school. Why? Because I need to learn, because there are things that I have to achieve, and I have goals in my life, and I'm looking forward. And how many of you ever got asked when you were in grade school what you wanted to be when you were an adult? Okay, I wanted to be president of the United States. And that's what I told them, and they laughed. And then I got a little bit older, and we had the same question, and I told them I wanted to be an airline pilot. But all along, at least I had something, right? We had goals. I have these things I want to achieve. I want success. I want to be a certain way. Then I got older, and I actually, Ken's not here. I actually had an appointment to the Air Force Academy. They sent me down there for a week. I looked it over, decided I didn't want to do it. But that was because I always wanted to be a fighter pilot and then become an airline pilot after I got out of the military. I wanted to go into the Air Force. But then for some reason, I went down there and looked it all over, and I thought, nah, God, I just don't want to do this. So then I wanted to become an attorney. And so I went to the University of Washington and started out with a degree in economics. That's what the law school people told me I should do, with a minor in English. And I started going to school. I went to school for 8 years. In college, 8 years. Oh, no, yeah. 5 years at University of Washington, actually 6 years at University of Washington, 2 years at community college, because I was also working full-time while I was doing it. But I had all these things, and my life was all around this one goal. I want to be somebody. I want to be a success. I want to prove to people that I'm worthy. I want to prove to people that I'm good, and that I should be your friend. And so I got in it. I did all that stuff. I got into my own business. Most of my clients were multimillionaires. I did high-end residential cabinets for very, very rich people. How many of you would be willing to spend $250,000 on cabinets in your house? I had plenty of people that were doing that. And so I saw them as, this is the goal. I want to be like you. I want to be this, have the things you have. And I was out there and trying to get, some sort of, I needed some validation of that I'm worthy of you. And I got a lot of that from people. I was very good at my job. But what was the priority? Trying to achieve the things of this world in the earth And God had a different plan. I think I've shared some of this with you before. You know, so I started the cabinet business. I went in the cabinet business. I was working probably 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And then I started another business because I wanted even more money. And so I was doing kids' furniture, and we were manufacturing it in China, and I was distributing it here. And so I had somebody kind of running my cabinet business, and then I opened up this was a furniture business. We had a distribution warehouse in Everett. I was distributing stuff all over the country. We had showrooms in North Carolina, showrooms in North Carolina, Dallas, in Seattle, and San Francisco. And I was traveling around, going to China every once in a while, doing all this because I had these great ambitions to achieve certain things. And then I had sold off the cabinet business because the furniture business was becoming very successful and very time-consuming, and I was traveling around a lot. I had to deal with all of the distribution and sales, and I had a partner that was over in China dealing with the manufacturing. And our factory burnt to the ground with our largest order, and everything that I had went away. Because God said, Tim, you are... prioritizing the wrong thing. You should be prioritizing me. Instead, you're prioritizing the success of this world, and I'm going to change that for you. And he put me in ministry. It didn't make me any better, but it put me in at least a pathway that I believe God had in mind for me at the time. And so it's all about priorities. Where have you placed your priorities? Because those are the things you're out there trying to achieve and get success at. And if it isn't Jesus and doing the things that Jesus wants you to do, then you have the wrong priority. Priorities in success. And see, that one of the things and why I did this object lesson for the kids, and I know we're not even getting into the passage yet too much, but I will real quick. See, man's view of life is this: I want to be successful, esteemed, valued, liked, and accepted, and have lots of fun things going on in my life. God's view is this: love God, love others, die to yourself, serve others, and you will experience eternal life. See, one of them is very self-focused, isn't it? And the other one is what? God and others focused. Okay. If you don't have those priorities in your life, you're not going to experience what God paid for with the life of his son who became sin for you to have righteousness available in your life. So here's this conversation that John the Baptist is having. He who comes from above, this is verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. What is he saying? He's saying, look, people, this is the truth. He who comes from above, Jesus. Now, here this is in a world where the Jews were the children of God for all those years. And then the new covenant comes around. And then they're finding out, guess what? They are no longer the children of God, but only those who accept he who comes from above. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth. And that's what the Jews were doing. They were trying to just be famous and be loved by everybody and be rich and take care and have power over everything. And they were of the earth. And they were speaking in an earthly way, but he who comes from heaven is above all. And so when John the Baptist and then John the disciple and then Jesus was out there spreading that message that I am here to die, to pay for the sin of the world. He who comes from above is above all. That was the most important priority. The most important priority for us today as human beings is to have relationship with God. And it only is going to happen because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And only is going to happen if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And that's what we're sharing when we move the red ball. Christ is above all. and all things here are less than. Is that really how you see things? That Jesus is the most important thing. That relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. That spreading the love of Jesus is the most important thing. That sharing the hope you have about Jesus is the most important thing in my life, and it is the number one priority. We would be moving those balls way faster. We see this, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rules or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Is this true? Yeah, we read in Genesis about the creation. Do you know that Jesus was in charge of that? That's what it said. He created all things. All things were created, not only created by him, but for him. And so here we are, and are we using that truth that he who comes from above is above all things, and that was Jesus came down to earth and then opened the door for an opportunity for us to have relationship with God once more after we were broken and sinful and separated from God. The one thing we needed the most in this world was some sort of relationship with God. And we lost it because of sin and brokenness of Adam and Eve. And yet Jesus came to open up the door for an opportunity to find the most important thing we could have, which would be relationship with God. Love God, love others. He is the most important thing. In verse 32, he bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one hears his testimony. Jesus came down with the truth from God saying, I have come to be the Messiah, to die for the sins of all mankind and provide you with an opportunity to have eternal life instead of experiencing the wrath of God, and yet no one. Now, this is not exactly true, not no one, but most people, in fact, the vast majority of people said no. Either didn't hear it, didn't know it, didn't want to believe it, or didn't think it could be true. That this guy came, this Jesus, I mean, we were expecting a Messiah that was way better looking than him and much more powerful and famous and being able to deal with people in a different way. Now, here's this guy, and he seemed kind of like just like everybody else, and he's walking around with a bunch of these poor fishermen people. That's not the Messiah. That couldn't be him. And yet he came and told people, the only way to find God is through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And there you go. No one comes to the Father. And so here was Jesus trying to bring this message, and he's saying, and what did John say there? The response of John the Baptist is, hey, I'm telling you this, I'm telling people the same story, and they're just not getting it. And the majority of people, and then he was put in prison and killed. Verses 33 and 34, for whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. Okay, so here's Jesus, and he has a testimony. He was telling people who he was and why he was there. And he was telling parables, and he was doing things and doing miracles and raising people from the dead and telling them, this is my testimony. Are you going to see it? And then this is interesting, to set, if anyone receives that testimony and sets his seal, that was something when you had a seal back then, you would put it onto a document, and that would mean, I believe in this. Here's my seal. I am, you know, it's kind of like we go around there and sign off on a document. Putting your seal on something is I accept it, and I'm standing out there and saying, yes, this is what I believe. Whoever receives Jesus' testimony sets his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Here we see in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, okay, loving kindness of God, which appeared when Jesus appeared, he saved us, meaning Jesus, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, that's it, folks. This was the this was what Jesus was bringing. I'm coming here, and I'm going to allow you to get saved, not because of anything you've done, but because I'm bringing you the Holy Spirit, who will open your eyes, open your heart, regenerate you, and bring you into the family of God. And you are going to be saved by grace through faith. And because of that, you can have hope of eternal life. Okay, that was the message that Jesus was bringing, yet nobody was really buying into it. And we saw that later in his ministry. And then we see this in John. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Once again, this is the priority. God's very clearly telling us, everything he created, I'm giving him power over all things. Have you made Jesus the number one priority in your life? What does he want me to do? What does he want me to say? How does he want me to act? What does he want me to believe? How does he want me to live? If that is not the intentional number one priority in your life, you are losing out on what Jesus paid for to give you opportunity to live righteously here. Things of this earth are very tempting. We're very easily distracted by the things that we see here, by the big bowl of stuff, instead of the little egg that actually held what was more important. Now, that's just a $100 bill. But in this case, what is that? What's in that egg? Jesus and eternal life. Which one are you going to pick? Are you going to pick the things of this earth? Are you going to pick the things of heaven? In the last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. This is Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. Whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the power of his word. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay. I know what we're talking about here is stuff you've probably thought about, known about, talked about, maybe taught, who knows. There's nothing new here that I'm telling you. I'm just saying what we really need to do is understand how important it is to prioritize what God has told us to prioritize. Those things. And again, I understand if we had enough time, I would have just said, okay, everybody, let's get up and come down here and let's just talk. Really, really, what did you do this week? Did you pray a lot? Did you spend a lot of time in the Word? Did you ask God every day, God, what do you want me to do today? God, can you bring somebody into my life that I can share the hope I have with? God, can you somehow use me? God, am I really growing in you? What can I do, Lord? Where can I go to be more transformed into the image of your Son? How can I go out and love you and love others and serve others and put myself in the background and die to self? Lord, am I doing that? I would have been great if we had that kind of a conversation. You said, yeah, that's exactly what I did this week because I prioritized the things of heaven instead of being distracted by the things of the earth. Now, we all have to eat. We all have to have a place to live. We all have things we got to do. You know, sometimes we need to work on our cars and transportation, all that things. I get it, that we don't have every single minute to just serve God and love other people and all that stuff. I know, but God says make it a priority that I am number one in your life. And that I am going to try to love you as much as possible, love others, and serve you every way I can. But it takes intentionality, and it takes setting those kinds of goals and priorities in your life. As a Christian, you're here for a reason. I'm so grateful you are. But it's very easy to get distracted by the things of this world if we don't make those things a priority. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not, the wrath of God will remain on him. In the end, folks, we're going to stand in front of God. He isn't going to ask us, how well did you do in the market, Tim? How much money did you have when you passed away? How many people knew your name? How many followers did you have on the internet? How nice a house did you have? Did you spend $250,000 on your cabinets? Nope. None of that's going to matter. Not a bit of it. Only one thing. Did you accept my Son as your Lord and Savior? That's going to be the difference here, because whoever believes in him has eternal life. Now, I'm guessing, I know most of you, you probably are already have accepted that. But we still, I mean, we've talked about this, and I think Greg talked about it a little bit. You know, were there things in Saturday morning men's breakfast that I shared, because I usually do from the sermon? Yeah, and that's that the battle is still raging, folks. In your own life, you're still fighting against your flesh. Out in the world, you're still fighting against the devil. The battle is still on. And God has said, here in this life, you need me, you need my Holy Spirit, and you need to keep your priorities correct. Because if you don't, you're not going to take advantage of it. All right, let's pray. Lord, this is sometimes a difficult thing for us because there are so many things that are easily distracting us all the time. Or our priorities aren't really, we think they are, we know what you say in your word. We know that we're supposed to be thinking about those things, but we're easily led astray off the path thinking about worldly things. How do I achieve this? How do I get this? How do I look like this? How do I have something that I want? Can I take that really nice vacation? And we're distracted by those things, Lord, and instead we should be prioritizing you, your will, loving you, loving others, and sharing the hope that we have. So, Lord, we just need that help, not to be distracted by the things of this world, but be focused intentionally on the things of heaven and the things of heaven that work for us here in this time on earth. So, Lord, give us that intent. Help us to reprioritize our lives so that they match up with your will instead of our own, and give you all the credit in the fact that you own all of the outcomes, that all you've asked us to do is be faithful and trust you. Lord, help us to do that this week as life goes on. And again, the battle is raging inside of us in our own flesh, and it's raging outside of us as the devil is trying to overcome your people. So, Lord, we just pray that we will have the right priorities, make you number one. In Jesus' name, amen.